Hey, this is Jitterbug.
And Nerves.
From Talking Ship, and we are proud to announce another episode of Game Lounge.
Come on in.
Welcome, welcome. Come on into the Game Lounge. It's episode number 19, and I am the Fisherman.
And I'm still Farva.
And we got a lot to talk about this week. I'm really looking forward to talking about this week's show. We got a lot of great news, and we got an On the Horizon because it's the first show of the month. I'm really looking forward to it, man. What have you been up to this week?
Honestly, just trying not to crap my lungs out. It's been a rough week for me. I picked up some virus somewhere, and I've been like hacking like a dog. It's not been fun. This morning, my daughter, turns out we were behind on some of her shots, and so I had to get them retaken care of before preschool, taking her preschool, so she ended up getting 6 different immunizations this morning.
Ugh.
Which, yeah, just made her miserable all day, and I've been miserable all day, and we're both just, like, picking on each other. I mean, what's worse is, like, because I know physically I could beat the shit out of a 4-year-old, but, yeah. Like, ethically it's wrong, but
right.
It's like, when I'm not feeling good, everything inside me just wants to, like, punch her in the throat, and I'm
right.
Like, oh, like, kid, I love you. Go shoot the dog with the water gun or something, because I swear to God, I'm just going to kill you right now.
You know, we probably picked up a little bit of scurvy from all those decks we had to swab after our mutiny kind of
yeah,
went by the
that
wayside.
That was some horseshit. I mean, they called it a mutiny. I just had a couple of different ideas on how I thought things should be run. And, you know, fuck, those dudes went way overboard. That was ridiculous.
They don't take kindly to this kind of thing, Farva. I guess we should have seen this one coming. But hey, I think it was worth it, and I think it was pretty good. But we are here and we are back on our show recording the Game Lounge, and I am drinking, and what I'm drinking is a beer, of course. I just got home from work, and it's pretty late, and so I didn't stop and pick up anything special. But I had some Negra Modelo still hanging around in the fridge, and so that's what I'm drinking. Nothing special, nothing fancy, just a good old-fashioned Mexican dark beer. I really like Negra Modelo, so that's what I'm going with, man. Are you drinking over there, or are you killing the Pepto again?
Of course I'm drinking.
Ah,
man,
come on.
I'm the Farva. It's what I do. You know, you think a little sick. Yeah, I figure if nothing else, I know for a fact that if you, like, you know, you get a cut on the outside, you swab it with alcohol to try and kill the germs. So I figure if I'm sick on the inside, I just, like, flood myself with alcohol to try and kill off the germs. And I'm doing that this week with a little bit of Diet Wild Cherry Pepsi.
No.
And Jack.
No. Okay. Well, Jack. All right.
And Jack.
Jesus fucking Christ, man.
And there is a fair amount of Jack in this beverage. And I am smiling like a... I've got that, like... Do you know that stupid grin I get when I've been drinking too much?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got that grin.
When was the last time you had an alcoholic drink that didn't involve some kind of fake fruit inside the thing? Like fruit additive into it, either by way of the mixer or by way of the alcohol itself?
Red Bull and vodka packs.
Oh, yeah. I guess that's it. Wow. Well, there you go, I guess. All right, so I guess I couldn't expect anything else. So that's what we're drinking. We're going to go on into Digital Desk. This is Digital Desk, and the first story is boom shakalaka, man. NBA Jam news just keeps getting better and better. And you know what? They're gonna try and throw everything into the PS3 and the Xbox 360 versions.
Which they needed to do. Especially, like, you sent me a text this week. For the Wii, it was a first day buy. I was all set to get it. And then you sent me a text that broke my heart, rocked my Wii-ing world. What was your text?
Okay, so it was like, do you watch The Office at all?
I do watch The Office.
Okay, do you remember, it was a few years ago where where Jim sent a fax to Dwight and said that it was from Dwight from the future and that the coffee was poisoned. And he ran and screamed and knocked the cup of coffee out of Stanley's hand.
I missed that, but that's awesome.
Do you remember that? He's,
no.
He's like, no! He just slaps the cup of coffee out of Stanley's hand. It was like that with NBA Jam. Because we'd been talking for a while about how, okay, well, the 360 and PS3 versions are going to be GIMP versions of NBA Jam.
Yep.
Okay, so what we played at PAX, what we really, really liked at PAX was the Wii version. So we were okay with finding each other through the Nintendo Wii's convoluted friend code system and playing each other over that while getting in a party on Xbox Live and chatting that way. That was going to be okay. That was going to be a kind of a Band-Aid for a weird situation.
But we would have made it work. You know, that's what you do when you have a long-term relationship that you're committed to. You find ways to make it work.
Right. So, but what I found out this week was that the Wii version of NBA Jam does not have online support at all.
There you go, people. So that entire thing, that entire four-minute rant he just did, all of that in a text.
Right. That's it. I sent the whole thing, and then he had to read it and then figure the whole thing out. But no, it was just I was like, my boy is going to be like, buying this thing day one, and between now and then I will forget to tell him not to do this, so I need to do it now when I find out. So I wanted to make sure that you understood that it wasn't going to be everything we'd hoped it would be. So, but what it is going to be is, hey, don't buy the Wii version anymore, not if you want to play online, because now the 360 and PS3 versions are supposed to get basically everything the Wii's getting. And you know what? Either they're gonna have to sell this NBA Elite 11 game for like $5,
yeah,
or just cancel it outright. I don't know.
You know,
no one's gonna want it.
It was gonna be, you know, the NBA Elite or whatever it was called was gonna come out, and then they were gonna tack the NBA Jam on the back of this. They're gonna reverse it. They're gonna send out the Wii, and like you're gonna end up with like a beta code for like this shitty like version of this other game.
Yeah,
and they're gonna completely switch roles. You know. Kind of like we did on the third night of PAX, where like the first night you were the man, the second night I got to be the man, you know?
Right.
Every so often, like, you get that role reversal thing, and I think it's really good in this sense right here.
It's refreshing. In any sense of the word, it's refreshing.
Yeah, but, you caught me mid-sip. No, I agree.
I'm really more and more excited about the 360 and PS3 versions of NBA Jam, and NBA Jam as a whole. I felt like I really enjoyed the Wii experience, but playing it on the 360 just seems more natural to me. And being able to be there with my friends and sort of invite anybody in, it may be that this thing comes out for a download for $20. It may be that it comes out on a disc, probably for $50 or something cheaper than a full disc-based game. But either way, I'm going to be right on board with it right when it comes out. And it's supposed to be out before the holidays. So cancel all the pre-orders for the Wii NBA Jam that have already been fulfilled by now. Take it all back. Wait for the 360 or the PS3 version and play with your friends. It sounds like that's going to be now. Everything has come full circle, as Favre mentioned. That will be the superior experience for NBA Jam going forward. So the second story we want to talk about is, hey, you know, Rock Band 3 comes out this month.
Yes.
It comes out for all the major consoles, the Wii, the Xbox 360, and the PS3. And it probably comes out for the PS2 as well. I don't know. Everything's still coming out for the PS2 for some reason. Hey, are you interested in the keyboard stuff at all?
I am not. I saw it at PAX, and it's like, yeah, it's a mini keyboard.
Yeah.
If I wanted to, like, one thing I like about the guitar and this and that, it's like, I don't have the time to sit down and learn the guitar, and it gives me that kind of like, yeah, I'm a rocker experience, especially when I've been drinking, because then I'm like, yeah, I'm really rocking out, you know, and I'm singing, and with the drums, you know, you can kind of sit there, and you're beating out real basic beats. Like, the song is way more complex than anything you're really beating out, unless you're on Expert, and if you are, well, your dogs die, and fuck you, dude, you're way too good at that game. But for the rest of us, it's like, okay, now you're bringing up the keyboard, it's like, okay, you're really kind of learning the keyboard and like playing it. Yeah, it's just, I don't know if I don't know if you play notes or, and as you get to like harder levels, you start playing chords or whatever. But I'm just like, no, I'm not all that excited about it. It's another thing to have there, and you can now get a fifth friend in, I think, unless it's just still four instruments and you're just losing the bass or whatever. I'm not really sold on it though. I'm just like, I get that they needed to keep increasing it, because just adding more another disc and more music like Guitar Hero's been doing is obviously burning people out on, like, you know, Guitar Hero Aerosmith, Guitar Hero Green Day, you know, Guitar Hero Fleetwood Mac, or whatever else they're going to put out next.
Uh-huh.
You know, so this was, I understand that they need to put out a peripheral of some sort and say, hey, it's a whole new experience. But I'd have been better off with like a triangle or a tambourine or something.
Yeah, and you were talking about beating out some pretty complicated things, man. I don't know. I beat out some pretty complicated things myself, like childhood issues and insecurities and things.
Yeah, whatever you got to do.
You know, I don't know if Rock Band 3 is going to compare to that, and if it does, then I'll buy 50 of them. But so the keyboard's coming out, and a lot of people are excited for it, but guess who doesn't get to – well, they'll get it, but they don't get a bundle. It's not coming out for the PS3 as a bundle. The Wii and the 360 in the U.S. are both getting a bundle with the game.
Mm-hmm.
Some kind of fucked up region thing. Like, this SKU will not be available in the U.S. of the PS3, Rock Band 3, and keyboard bundle. You can still get the things, but it's got to be separate. It's just weird. I don't know how something like this happens. It's something between Harmonix and Mad Catz who makes the keyboard. Something fucked up. I don't understand how you could let that slip through. Your big innovation this time around,
yeah,
is that you've offered a keyboard. Now, the other big innovation is Pro Mode, but that shit ain't out yet. It's not ready yet. So when you're launching this game, the big thing that you're going to have is the keyboard. And now you're going to have a bundle for a large segment of your fan base. I mean, okay, so let me just say this. As if it was ever on the fence what console I was going to get Rock Band 3 on.
Yeah, this just pushes it right over the edge.
Regardless of anything else, it's like, wow, okay, I'll get the one that I can get the bundle on. I'll get the one that I can save $10 on, and that's the 360.
Seriously, how does Sony keep fucking shit up? I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I know we have some PS3. I don't want to call them fanboys, but the PS3 is their favorite console.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, to you guys, I just don't get it. Like, it's what you have, and so you defend what you know. You know, it's the same reason, like, you know, when a guy beats the shit out of his wife and the cops come to arrest him and she attacks the cops, you know. She's just defending her man, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, I live in Texas. It happens all the time down here.
Right.
But, you know, dealing with – I don't see how – it's like these poor little, like, PS3 fanboys are, like, broken, like, beaten women. And they're just like, oh, you know, and like Sony just keeps slapping them around. And whenever someone steps up and is like, you really need to leave him. He's no good for you, you know. Come over here. Look, there's all kind of good men over here. And don't take it the wrong way. Like, I know this is a horrible thought because it's like the PS3 is black and the Xbox generally is white. What? And that's not where I was going with that. It jumped into my head and I realized where the analogy was going. And if you people don't, that's not where I was taking it. It just looked that way in the end. I know, it just looked that way on the outside. But long story short, it's like, seriously, Sony keeps just bitch-slapping you over and over and over again. Guys, yeah, I know they, like, for the other guy, like, Colby and, you know, Cam and them, and they'll, like, buy their games
Deadpool,
predominantly. Yeah. And, like, the only games that they really play on the 360 are the ones that are 360 exclusives. And I'm like, how can you do that? How can you just keep going back when they just keep punching you in the mouth?
I don't know, man. And the weird thing is that this one sounds like it may not have been a Sony deal. Like, everything that I read in this article pointed to the breakdown being at Harmonix and Mad Catz. And it all, honestly, when you read the article, it sounds like, oh, yeah, we forgot to mention. That's not going to happen. Like, this bundle existed. Like, you could pre-order it from Amazon. You could pre-order it from GameStop. All of a sudden, it disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's not available to anybody. And it sounds like it wasn't a mistake at all. It sounds like this is the plan. And at no point in this article did they mention Sony. It sounds like it's something that Harmonix and Mad Catz cooked up. Yeah, I don't know.
Just to fuck with Sony?
Weird.
Just to fuck with Sony? I mean, I don't know.
Yes, get $10 more out of the PS3 fanboys because they know they're going to get it on the PS3. I'm sure Sony's not happy about it because anybody who's a dual owner will now immediately get it for the 360.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Whatever. It's just a weird thing. So guys, if you're into Rock Band 3 and you're kind of on the fence about a keyboard and you only have a PS3, maybe hold off. You're not going to get a bundle. You're not going to get a special discount price, so why don't you see how it shakes out? The next story is that in Medal of Honor, there was a big controversy about the two sides. I mean, obviously, in any multiplayer game, you're going to need two sides.
Yep.
The good guys and the bad guys. I mean, what else could it shake out to be in a first-person shooter multiplayer game? And Medal of Honor deals with you know, Afghanistan and Iraq and sort of the war that's going on right now. And so in the game, in the campaign, you're fighting against the Taliban.
Mm-hmm.
That's who you're fighting against. Well, all right, so there was a big uproar because you were the U.S. Army fighting against the Taliban. So what are the multiplayer teams going to be, Farva? What are they going to be?
Yeah, I heard. It was the U.S. military versus the Taliban. The Taliban was the Op 4.
Right. Except for that means somebody's got to play as the Taliban.
Yeah. And people got pissed off about it. And I know, like, a lot of the GameStops and the game, all the retailers on military bases were saying, we're not going to sell this game because of this. And I get that. I'm especially since it's their business to fight these people in real life, you know, being someone who went over there and did this, I can understand the point of view how people can be offended. While on the same note, it's like, okay, I guess they've gone through and taken out the name Taliban, haven't they?
Well, I think what they're doing is they're taking it out of the multiplayer. It's not a playable team in multiplayer anymore.
Yeah, they're taking it out of the multiplayer, and now they're calling it Op 4, Enemy Force, or whatever they're going to call it. You know, they can call it Sesame Street, you know, Militia for all. It doesn't really matter. You're playing the multiplayer to play the multiplayer, and you're just out to shoot somebody else. I understand why people got upset, and especially people on military bases, you know, the big wigs, and people have to be worried about, you know, public relations and this and that. But it really was going to take away from, like, soldiers and this and that. Like, when I was in Iraq, you know, I loved my Modern Warfare. I played it all the time. I don't think Modern Warfare came out. Halo 2 is what I played. Halo 2 released while I was over there. And my wife brought my Xbox with me. She shipped it over to me, and I got it, and I was so pumped to have it. And I played Halo 2, like, all the time when I was there. It was just the way things went, you know? So, right. Now with the way, with them saying, okay, we're not going to let anything be sold on our base. A lot of soldiers and a lot of people, you know, single soldiers, married soldiers, whatever, airmen, Marines, and who have the same hobbies that we have and enjoy the same hobbies we enjoy, weren't going to have those opportunities, especially those who were overseas. You know, and I'm not talking like Iraq and Afghanistan, but those, you know, they do sell them in the PXs over there now, you know, the little mobile ones. But like, I'm talking in like Germany and in, you know, the UK, where things are. Like, you know, if I go to buy a game from Canada, it won't always play down here. If I buy a game from England, it won't play here. Australia, whatever. You know, so they couldn't just go on the economy and get it like we could down here. So I understand the military side of it, but I really do appreciate the publishers and stuff coming out and being like, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to change this so we can get our game to everybody. It's good business-wise for them. It shows that, hey, we recognize that people might have been offended by this, and we adjusted it. You know, they're trying to, like, make peace and put that olive branch out there. And those soldiers who are, you know, overseas and doing their dirty over the duty that are working, you know, that are overseas are able to have access to this to one of the most anticipated games of this year. So
yeah, a lot of gamers are pissed off about this. They're saying that EA's taken the easy way out or backing down from what they were doing, and in some sense you could see that is the case. But like you said, man, it's just good business. I can't imagine a world, because this was such a big deal for the U.S. Army that they were going to pull support for future EA titles if they left it in there.
Yeah,
that's it for Medal of Honor. If the Army pulls support and the military pulls support for, you know, helping these games out, because there's an entire branch of the military just devoted to entertainment. You know, portraying themselves in entertainment.
Mm-hmm. No, and yeah, movies, and I get it. And the thing is, it's like, these are the type of fanboys who are like, oh, you know, because they just look at, oh, why are they changing? Oh, fuck them. When in reality, it's like being in a bar. If I, you know, if I'm walking along and I spilt, you know, my drink on somebody, you know, or I accidentally knock somebody's drink over, oh, dude, my bad. I am sorry. I didn't mean to do that. I didn't come over here and just like, fuck you and like knock it off your table. You know, I was just like, my bad. Let me get you another one. Let me make it good between us. That's all EA is doing. It's not a matter of them like, you know, like they spilt their drink and offended the military, and then the military is like, hey, you know, you need to make this right. And they're like, ah, fuck you, dude, you know. EA's not that drunk yet, you know. Now, if they'd have caught him like a little closer to release date, a couple drinks in, maybe there'd have been something going on in the parking lot. But as it is, you know, this is just a bunch of those fucking like little wallflower dudes who sit around nursing a beer for 4 hours who just want to see a fight in the parking lot. So,
nice.
Fuck those guys.
You are 3 for 3 with metaphors and news stories right now, and let's just keep that shit going. But anyways, just circling back on this one real quick. I don't know, man. There's a statute of limitations when it comes to portraying wars accurately, I think, in video games and movies.
Mm-hmm.
I think at this point with the war in Iraq, we are at the artful stage where you can make a movie that is artful about the war.
Mm-hmm.
You may be able to make a game that's artful about the war, but making a game that is fun, balls out, Nazi zombies or something like that, maybe a little early for that.
Yeah.
You can have a movie like The Hurt Locker, which is an artful film about a modern war.
Yeah, great movie.
That's where we're at. That's where we're at right now with this, and that's just the way it is. I mean, that's the way it is, and that's the way it always will be. We've passed statute of limitations on a lot of wars.
Oh yeah.
But not this one. And so to understanding that people would take offense in the modern day with you running around as the Taliban killing American soldiers, you got to look beyond yourself here a little bit and look beyond your gaming self and see it for the way other people are going to see it. And understand what's the decision like this.
Well, like Hogan's Heroes came out 50 years after World War II ended?
Yeah.
No, 30 years, 40 years? So we've got we have another 10, 15 years to wait before we have our own like Hogan's Heroes at Guantanamo Bay. That'll be kind of fun.
We had one of those already. Harold and Kumar.
Oh, see, that was in bad form. That was way too early.
Yeah, those guys should be ashamed of themselves. The next story that we want to talk about is that Gears of War has been delayed by at least 5 months, man. They came out and said, I think around June of this year, that it was going to be coming out on April 5th, 2011.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? It's coming out in the fall of 2011 now, and it has nothing to do with the development cycle, though I hope they take this time and polish it up more. I'm sure they will. Put some more stuff into it. It's all about selling it when people are buying video games, man. And that's just the name of the game anymore these days. And I don't know. I guess I can't really fault them too much for it.
No. Okay. They delayed it. Big whoopty fucking do. I mean, odds are it's going to come out. I will rent it. I'll probably buy it. I bought the other two. I'll buy this one. When it comes out, it just lets me know, okay, I guarantee you there will be more shit to play.
Yeah, I just say thank God, because I have my gaming schedule booked for the next probably about 7 or 8 or 9 months right now, and
so
there's no
let up. You're way too fucking anal retentive. I am so much more laid back. I'm like, fuck it. Today I'm going to be a cowboy. Tomorrow I'm going to be a space marine. Tomorrow, you know what? I just want to be a fucking shadow in the forest.
Yeah.
You know? I just, whatever I'm feeling like that day.
Yeah, my gaming schedule, meaning that I will not be playing... I would just let new games stack up while I finish the old ones.
Mm-hmm.
That's sort of what I mean when I say that. And it's just like, hey, great, Gears of War's out. Well, let's put that on the stack for a while. I mean, if it comes out in time for Extra Life 2011,
there awesome. You go.
Then that's just perfect. The next story is that OnLive has dropped the monthly fee,
so you can sign up months ago. They had to. There was no way they were going to be supported.
Of course, and it's just. Yeah, okay, great move. You figured it out, guys. I mean, okay, so you could get in there for free if you wanted to with the Founders Program. You could get in there for free with the beta like I did. And then it was free for a year, and then they start ringing you up. But now it's just free to join. You can get in for free, and all of a sudden the service looks a whole lot more appealing to people, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Wi-Fi is available now. They didn't have Wi-Fi before Farva. You had to have a wired internet connection due to connectivity issues.
Uh-huh.
They just launched Wi-Fi, so you could just play it on your laptop or whatever off of someone's Wi-Fi.
There you go.
What's appealing about it is instant demos are kind of cool. You can instantly demo a game without having to download it.
That is kind
of
nice.
You can instantly play a game. They have a lot. I will give them credit. They've been dropping the deals, and I haven't put them into Fresh Catch because not a lot of people have OnLive. I don't know if any of our listeners have it, but I get an email every week, you know, about some weekend deal. Like this weekend, it was 50% off of every 2K game that they have, which is like Borderlands, all their sports games. It was just 50% off of everything. Will more people join OnLive? Probably. And will they make more money because it's now free? It remains to be seen. This is the kind of service that comes with a high overhead.
Yeah.
I can understand them thinking they need to charge to make up some of that. but I don't know of anybody they actually charged. Everybody that I know that got in for free, at least for the first year, and now it seems for the foreseeable future they'll be free too. But hey, you know, now maybe more people will try it and more people will get on board with it, and this thing can really actually start taking off.
It's possible. It's just Steam was like the first and original. I know it's not a Steam replica. I know it offers its own type of service and this and that, but it's PC gaming, you know, it really. And when a lot of people think PC gaming, the first thing you do think of is Steam. You know, mm-hmm. OnLive doesn't come, and it's got a long way to go. I mean, I really hope that they've set up like their business plan where they're not hoping to turn a profit realistically for the first 4 or 5 years.
I think they
got a long way to go. If they're hoping to just, you know, make a quick buck on this and really just jump out the gates, they're fucked.
Have you got a metaphor that relates to this at all?
Yeah, it's kind of like Wendy's coming around, all these other little burger joints that you see popping up all over the place, you know.
Okay.
They opened like a Molly's hot dog stand down the street when you got McDonald's fucking everywhere. You know, sure, a couple of people go over, but it takes a while to make that niche market. You're not going to become some big conglomerate overnight, you know, especially since you weren't the first person to develop a fucking hamburger.
Right.
So just slow your roll. Expect, you know, that it's gonna, that you can grow if you have a good and solid product. If your burger is, you know, 100% beef and like McDonald's is like 30%, you know, I don't know, turkey or whatever the fuck they put in them. I don't know what they are.
Okay.
You go with what you got. If you have a better product, people will start hearing about you. People will start coming. But since you weren't the first on the market, you're not going to jump right out the gates. You're not going to make that quick buck. So I really hope that they plan accordingly.
Yeah, I agree, and I hope so too. I think this is the kind of service that's more apt for a person like you than me, honestly, Farva. I have a pretty high-end computer that can run the games that are coming out these days at maximum settings right now.
Mm-hmm.
But OnLive purports to be the one that you can, no matter what kind of netbook you're running, you can run this game as long as you have a good internet connection at the highest settings, because they're running it. And they're just streaming you the video. So, you know, maybe they'll catch on in one of those markets, but it's tough to get that market to buy video games in the first place.
Yeah.
I don't know. It seems like a bit of a futile effort. Hopefully, dropping the monthly fee will get more of those people involved and get them to try it and get them to get on these sales and get committed to OnLive. I'm sure that's their plan, is to get people invested in it, and then you're kind of locked in.
Yeah.
So the last story is not really a story, but it's more of a discussion I wanted to have about HD remakes. There's been a lot of these coming out. The most prominent recently is that Ico and Shadow of the Colossus HD are coming out for the PS3 early next year.
Mm-hmm.
And I am honestly very excited because I never got a chance to play either one of those games, and so I can't wait to play them on the PS3. But also one that just recently got announced was that Beyond Good and Evil HD is coming out too. One of the sleeper hits and one of the great games, one of the great conceptual games.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get too far into it. I tried it back when it came out, and I played it for about an hour and a half, but I don't know if I was as well-rounded a gamer as I am now. I don't know that I appreciated it as much as I would these days. Did you ever try Beyond Good and Evil?
Nope, never played any of these games. Heard they're all magnificent, and but no, I never got to try them.
So what's your take on the HD remake as a whole? I mean, do you think it's these companies cashing in? Do you think this is a valuable product? Do you think this is something that you'll be into?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes to all three. Yes, okay. I think that the companies are cashing in. I think they're cashing in because people are asking for it. There's a market for this. We got that with the first couple of God of Wars. You know, they did the HD remake with that, and I had actually gone out right before it was announced and bought it on the PS2 because I have one of the old backwards compatible PS3s. So I bought it so I could play through them before I played God of War 3.
Nice, good move.
Now with one of the complaints, now, you know, it was kind of fuzzy and the screen's smaller, you know, it wasn't HD'd up or anything like that. One of the things I heard, one of the few complaints I heard was that the gameplay itself looked great, but the cutscenes look like shit because, you know, it's like when you have like a HD TV but you have a bad signal, you don't have an HD signal, it looks fucked up. And so that's essentially what we were getting, and hopefully they address that concern as well. But these are great games that I have heard of, I've heard a lot about, especially Shadow of the Colossus. I've heard that is just an amazing, phenomenal truly, like, you know, really moves you and, like, stirs you kind of game. And right. Sounds like something that would just be right up my alley. And every time I've found it, you know, used, it's still, like, $25-$30. And I'm, like, trying to catch it at, like, $15. Because this is an old PS2 title, and I know it's going to look like shit on my TV, but I still want to play it. Well, now with them getting this HD remake coming out and coming out with Echo, or with everything else.
Yeah.
I am excited for it, so I am definitely into this. I think, yes, the companies are cashing in, because people like me are like, fuck it, bring it.
Yeah, I think there's people out there like us that missed out on a generation's worth of games. Honestly, yeah. I missed out on the PS2 generation. I did not have a PS2. I was an Xbox guy at that time. I am now a triple console owner, and also now I own two Xbox 360, so I think I've sort of made up for that. Maybe not in Sony's eyes, but I'm really looking forward to Shadow of the Colossus and Ico. I think to a little bit of a lesser degree, but Shadow of the Colossus has just such a high cachet. Everybody knows about Shadow of the Colossus. Everyone talks about what a groundbreaking experience that was. Mm-hmm. I think we might have to break our rule, Farva, and do a buried treasure on that when it comes out.
That would be awesome.
I think, you know, we try and stick to the 8-bit on that, but I think we can do a buried treasure in a few segments, maybe bring some more people on here and play through it all together and go through that game. I think that would be a fun segment to do when this stuff comes out. HD remakes, a lot of times, like even in this example, the Ico and the Shadow of the Colossus games are coming out and they are leading into the new game. Mm-hmm. They're leading to that company's new game coming out a few months later. I'm really looking forward to it, and I really am looking forward to giving Beyond Good and Evil another shot too. It sounds like it's going to be coming out on the PSN, which is new because this was a PC game all the way, and so I'm interested to see what they do with it. But conceptually, Beyond Good and Evil has had a lot of acclaim. And I just never got the chance to really get into it. So that's why I think these HD remakes definitely have a place in the gaming sphere. And, I just am looking forward to more like that, and especially looking forward to Shadow of the Colossus.
There we go.
So that's going to do it for Digital Desk, and we're going to go on to On the Horizon. All right, this is On the Horizon, and Farva, October is just crazy busy with the game releases. I mean, you see it here on the show notes.
Yeah.
It takes up, like, about as much space as our entire show notes generally take up.
Yeah, it's huge.
So what we're going to have to do here is we're going to have to break it up into halves, halfsies. And so the first half we're going to talk about this week. The next half we're going to talk about in a couple of weeks when the beginning of October sort of has tapered off and we're into the middle part of it. So I'm going to go through the list of games that's coming out in the first half of October, and you're going to let me know which one you think you're looking forward to the most, and then I'm going to do the same. All right, you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, so there's a bunch of them that have already come out, and those are Wii Party, Castlevania Lords of Shadow, John Daly's Pro Stroke Golf, NBA 2K11, Def Jam Rap Star, Final Fantasy The Four Heroes of Light, Enslaved Odyssey to the West, and NBA Jam for the Wii, and Left 4 Dead 2 The Sacrifice, and Comic Jumper. Those all came out on the same fucking day. They all came out on the 5th of October.
I got to admit, with John Daly's Pro Stroke Golf, I honestly thought that game would come with a case of beer.
Yeah, maybe.
It turns out, no, you know, it does not. It comes with, you know, it comes with loud pants and a case of beer. Not the case. It's just another shitty game. But right, hey, who knew?
Apparently, it's move compatible. So, you know, maybe there's something to that. But I haven't seen anything good or bad about it, so I don't really know. So that's all the 5th of October.
That was a
and
lot.
Then as the beginning of the month sort of wears on, we have more that comes out. Sonic the Hedgehog 4 is actually coming out on the 11th, and that's just for the Wii, but then the 360 and PS3 versions come out on the 13th. Alan Wake's Writer DLC, the next DLC for Alan Wake, comes out shortly thereafter, and then Borderlands Game of the Year Edition comes out, and we've got Super Scribblenauts, and then the big one for the first half, I think, is Medal of Honor. What do you think, Farva?
Easily Medal of Honor. Uh-huh. I mean, there's looking at this list, it's right away the one that jumps out at me. There's definitely a couple games on here that I want to play. Obviously, NBA Jam I'm excited about. Enslaved I'm curious about. Castlevania I've been curious about. But the big one here, hands down, the one I know on this list so far that I will be buying is Medal of Honor.
Right, right. And I agree with that. I'll be getting that day one as well. That's of course, I'm sure they didn't plan on this, but they timed it perfectly for Extra Life. So, hey, I guess that's going to be – I'll probably end up buying it and then not touching it until Extra Life just to sort of pop that cherry in a big way, you know?
Nah, you might as well.
I would say there's a lot on this list that I'm looking forward to as well. Enslaved, I already have, and I've put some time into, and we'll be talking about that in the care package. NBA Jam I was looking forward to, but not really so much anymore because it's just the Wii version of it. Honestly, I think one of the big surprise hits for this one is going to be Comic Jumper. I'm going to find this demo and I'm going to try it, but from everything that I've seen, it looks like Beautiful Joe, if you remember that.
I do.
In the sense of the narrative is told inside the framework of a comic. And you are the hero in the comic, and you're jumping from pain to pain, fighting enemies. I think that's got some metal to it. But really, the big one this month, the big one, the first part of this month, I think is Enslaved. But we'll be talking about it in the next segment. One to look out for, and I know we're not talking about the second half yet, and I don't want to get too deep into it. But I don't think a lot of people know about this one. It's a game called Costume Quest. On the 360 arcade and the PSN, it comes out on the 20th of October. Mm-hmm. Guys, before the 20th of October, take a look at some videos and some media about this game. See if it's your kind of game. From what I can tell, it is an isometric RPG kind of thing. It's a turn-based RPG in the same way that Final Fantasy was, except for you are playing as a kid in a neighborhood who is going trick or treating. Whose sibling has been captured.
Mm-hmm.
The real trick is that you're wearing a costume, obviously, because you're trick-or-treating, and you go to door-to-door to these houses, and sometimes there's a guy there to give you candy, and sort of that's your currency. And sometimes there's a monster, and you have to fight the monster, but what happens is you turn into whatever you're dressed up as. So, like, if you're in the costume of like a robot, you turn into this badass robot.
That's a clever concept.
Yeah, I thought it was clever, and the art style is cool, and it's smooth. The animation, from what I can tell, is really smooth and crisp. Keep an eye out for that one. Obviously, we'll be talking about the second half of October later on, but I didn't want that to pass anybody by because that's not exactly a huge release, but it's one that I'm finding is holding a lot of intrigue for me.
That's why we have a podcast.
Right. So that's on the horizon, and wait no more. We will talk more in depth about Enslaved and Castlevania Lord of Shadows in this next segment. We're going into the care package.
Alrighty, this is Farva bringing you a care package. Actually, we're both going to be bringing you one. I'm going to start off with Castlevania Lord of Shadows. This is yet another God of War ripoff, so to speak. The combat right off the bat, it's so similar. You've got your chain whip thing that you wig around. That's exactly what the combat is. You can start buying. As you earn experience, you earn new moves that increase your power, increase how powerful you are, this and that. You upgrade as you play through the game. You upgrade your whip to have more and more abilities. You turn it into a grappling hook and this and that. And it's the combat is fairly fluid. Sometimes the camera angles get kind of wonky, i.e., it's almost like it's a third person game, but you're so close to your character that guys will lunge at you from what would be the bottom of your TV screen, and they hit you before you have a chance to act or dodge or anything because they were already in full charge, off screen. So that gets kind of annoying at times. There are a couple of things that they try to do to make this a little more creative. And so one of the things they did was they've given you the ability to collect. After a while, you start collecting orbs, like energy orbs. And in order to heal yourself, you'll find your typical the green fountain. Pull the right trigger next to the green fountain. Hey, you're healed. Just like the green chest from God of War.
Right.
When I first saw that, I was like, man, seriously? Is that what we're going to be doing this whole time? But what they did was he instituted this thing where you collect orbs. After you kill guys, you start collecting their orbs. And with those orbs, you put them into this little meter. And you eventually, after a while, you press the left bumper. Like, if your health's down, you press the left bumper. You start attacking people. As you attack them, you're using this little magic meter. Your guy blows blue, you're using this little magic meter that these orbs have been filling, and as you hit somebody, your health goes up. So the more damage you do while you're in this mode, your health goes up, but then your little meter, your little magic meter, depletes. And then later on, as you get through the game, you actually end up with one on the right side of your screen, which you can put orbs in that one too, and you hit the right bumper, and your guy becomes extra strong. He's like in a dark, it's a shadow power. He goes into this rage mode and just starts whooping the shit out of everybody. It's addressing like the health issue in kind of an interesting way, kind of like a power boost in kind of an interesting way as well. Plus it has, and I don't know if they stole this from Deathspank, but it's really the only place I've really seen it, where you have that meter that you kind of that power meter you fill up, and you use different varying attacks and you cannot get hit, you use varying attacks and you don't get hit, if you fill this little power meter at the bottom center of your screen, every time you hit somebody, they'll start dropping a shit ton of orbs. So it's kind of encourages you to try and like dodge a whole bunch and block and really get into the combat. That's all well and good. Couple of the problems I've noticed with the game. First of all, this is going to be a long fucking game.
Okay.
A long game. And I'm not talking like most of the time you get games like these platformers, these action platformers, last anywhere between 5 to 8 hours.
Yep.
We start to bitch when they hit 5 and 6. When they hit 8 to 10, we're like, okay. Well, what this thing has done, you start off and you have the world map. And on the world map, there's like 10 places you have to go. And when you go into one of those places, the first one had 4 little levels you had to do. It was kind of your training mode. So you go through your training mode, and then you go to – I went to the second one, and it's got 10. And each – so I'm going through and doing these 10 little individual maps inside one plot point on this world map of 10 places. And so you fight the same enemies over and over and over again. You solve really simple puzzles. You jump around. You do a lot of ledge jumping. And after a while, it starts to get really repetitive. And the narrative, they have like a narrative in between these little scenes, these little action scenes you do. And I'm like little. I mean, one might take 20 minutes.
Okay.
It could be as short as 5 and as long as 20 minutes. And so you go through this, and then you have someone who's kind of narrating the story, and it's like they're trying to put way more angst and weight onto the situation than is really there, and that gets kind of annoying at times. One of the other problems I've run into is it's kind of the Assassin's Creed glitch, where you discover one move that works really, really well, and for the most part, that's all you ever need to do.
I see.
Once you level up your whip to be able to do like the Scorpion from Mortal Kombat's move, where you snatch out and you snatch someone towards you. Once you grab them, you can there's like a little kind of timing mini game. You just got to wait to press A at the right time, and you instantly kill the enemy, and then their orbs float up, and no one else can hit you while this animation is going on. So as soon as that ends, you snap your whip out, you grab the next guy, and you can mow through an army of smaller enemies, and it finally becomes a technique where you'll have like a bunch of small werewolves running around and like one or two big monster ones in the middle, and the easiest way to deal with it is to just stand in one place, suck up all the little bad guys, kill them all one shot, and then deal with the two big guys. And so that makes combat really, really repetitive.
Wow.
But because of the limitations of the screen and guys attacking you when you're when they're off from off screen, you almost don't have a choice.
Wow, that's really a shame. That seems like a big failing on the game's part, man, to set it up like that.
It's just one of those things. It's not a bad game. I mean, the combat is fairly fluid. They do try and mix things up. I mean, I don't want to say it's strictly a God of War clone. I mean, like, what was the other one? With the Legos of Hell. Dante's Inferno.
Yeah, right.
Dante's Inferno was a God of War. I mean, it was a reskinned God of War, essentially. This at least does try to mix things up somewhat. And it tries to throw in something new and something you haven't seen before every so often. It really does. So far, I'd give it, honestly, a good solid 3 out of 5 ships. Worth a rent, worth picking up. And if it's, there's a lot of game here. And you will play and play and play and play and play to get through this game. I mean, I've been playing it for 5 hours. Uh-huh. I'm just getting through the second I'm at the I mean, one another weird thing is real quick, the mythology is all fucked up. Oh. Now, I mean, you picture in this world, you have ghosts, goblins, werewolves, you know, monsters, essentially, right?
Sure, 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 sure.
I'm fighting, I mean, I've run into Pan from, like, Pan's Labyrinth. I've run into Pan. I'm fighting titans. I'm fighting, I mean, golems.
Okay. Weird,
like, things that are, like, more fantasy creatures. It's like when you almost have, like, your monster world and your fantasy world and your mythology worlds, that they all kind of have their own, like, you know, like, with the mythology world, you have titans and harpies and golems and things like that. And then in your fantasy world, you have fairies and, like, Pan and these little mini demigods and, you know, dwarves and things like that. And then in your monster world, you have, like, you know, your typical monsters. This has fairies, Pan. I mean, everything is just all hodgepodge together. And it really is almost distracting. It's like a zombie movie that doesn't obey the rules of its own world. You know, like we've talked about it, where they like where the zombies eat themselves. It's like, no, that's not kind of what they do. It's like they tried to stretch the game out and shoved a whole bunch of extra shit in it. And so that's kind of a weird thing. But there is, because they did that, there is a shit ton of gameplay here. Puzzles are relatively simple. Nothing that's so hard that you honestly really couldn't figure out after a couple minutes of looking at it. Honestly, if you're, you know, if you're a fan of action platformers, this is right up your alley. It really is.
Oh, there you go.
You will be doing that forever.
So let me ask you, how are the controls in it? Because a big part of these character action games and their success is, are the controls tight enough that you can pull off these combos and things that they're asking you to do?
Oh, yeah, easily. Controls are great.
Okay,
the controls are super tight, so there's no problem there.
Okay, so if you're a fan of character action games or Castlevania, or definitely both, this is one you should really be taking a look at, right, Farva?
That's right.
Cool. I have one that's a character action game as well, a third person action game, and this one I wasn't really thinking about up to about 2 weeks ago, but I went ahead and just jumped right in and picked it up. I picked up Enslaved Odyssey to the West, and what got me on this one was I remember have seen a lot of previews about it and seeing a lot of ink about how gorgeous the game is and how really epic the scale seems, and it's a post-apocalyptic kind of New York City setting,
mm-hmm.
with sort of like I Am Legend, except for everything's sort of it's a different kind of post-apocalyptic setting. It's all overgrown with green, like trees have taken back over, and it's just like this forest, but you can still see the buildings. Like, the buildings are still there, the Statue of Liberty is still there, all the iconic things about a big city are still there. They're just kind of mixed in with a forest that has sort of taken over the entire city. And the Odyssey is to the West. You're going across the now completely changed United States. And the story seems really interesting. And from what I hear, and I haven't spent a whole lot of time with it, from what I hear, the game harkens to a sort of an Uncharted, except for, let's say, not as charming characters, but a more interesting overall story,
mm-hmm.
with not as challenging platforming or combat mechanics, but more interesting combat mechanics. You play as this guy named Monkey. That's the name of your character.
Why not?
Sure, and it's kind of weird because he has a scarf or a sash tucked into the back of his shorts that he always wears. Mm-hmm. And when you're jumping around, it flaps around like a tail.
Okay.
And he jumps around, and he jumps around like a monkey. His mannerisms were like that.
Okay.
And so it's kind of fitting, but you start off on this slave airship that's going off to this place that's going to have you be a slave there, basically. And there's a riot on the ship, and everyone breaks out. And the entire first level is a tutorial on how to play the game while at the same time you're escaping from this ship. And it has some of the most stunning visuals that I've seen in the entire game yet. When the ship is crashing, mm-hmm. like slowly crashing down, Over the Atlantic seaboard, because you're over on the New York City area and Manhattan area.
Uh-huh.
and you're out on the wing of the crashing ship, and you see the scenery go by, and you can actually get your first glimpse of the overgrown New York City from a distance. It's some of the most stunning things I've seen in a game. The scenery is really good in this, and the platforming is not difficult. You will never ever fall to your death. It won't even let you jump. It won't even let you try to jump a gap that you can't make. your jump button will only work when you're lined up with something that you can grab a hold of.
That'll help for like all the kids and stuff. You know, no more I can't make it. Well, there's probably another place another way you're supposed to go, buddy. You know,
right? But it doesn't stop the tension at all, because a key part of the first level of the game is trying to get to the last escape pod on the ship as it's crashing.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the last escape pod, there's a countdown. It's like in 10, 9, 8, and by the time you get to 7, you still can't even see what you're aiming at. You just know you're supposed to be just keep on running forward and jumping on shit. And it wasn't until I got until like 4 seconds left until it was supposed to launch that I actually saw the thing and got there with 2 seconds left.
Panic.
It's the tension in the game is really good. The combat in the game is pretty interesting, because what happens is you end up enslaved anyways by this girl who needs to get home. She needs you to take her to the West, to her home, and then she's going to let you go. She ends up putting this sort of like a slave collar, except for it's a headband on you that keeps you under her willpower control. But it becomes really clear really quickly that she is pretty helpless out here, and uh-huh. she needs to rely on not just your abilities, but on your advice and you get the fuck over there and just keep to yourself, and I'm going to go handle these bad guys kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, so it becomes this, it comes into this really complicated dynamic between you and her, where she is really telling you in a big picture way what to do. But in the combat, in like the day-to-day operation kind of thing, you're really dictating what's going on. Your character is dictating to her what's going to happen.
Nice.
And so the interplay between the two characters is really interesting. I can see a lot of Heavenly Sword in this, because it was the same team that made Heavenly Sword.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, girl, the lead female in this one, looks a lot like Noriko from Heavenly Sword. The resemblance is uncanny. But I was a big fan of Heavenly Sword. I liked what I saw, and then I played the demo, and I really got sucked into the demo, and so I just bought it. And now I'm going to be playing through it. Apparently it's like a 10 to 12 hour campaign, which seems about perfect for a game like this.
Yep.
And, yeah, I mean, I'm sure I hopefully will have more to talk about on this game, in the coming shows, but, I'm just excited to get in there and play some more of it. I will let you guys know if it's worth a look from the general Game Lounge audience.
So, ship-wise, right off the bat, first instinct, what do you think?
I kind of give it a thumbs up. I mean, I don't want to give it a ship. I don't want to give it a ship.
Give it a ship, right, damn now. It.
Well, okay. Well, what's yours for Castlevania? Because you never gave yours either.
I said three. I did. I said 3 out of 5.
Oh, did you? Maybe I wasn't listening.
You weren't.
I want to give this one a 4, but that's really tentative, because I think... usually I will judge a game that I've bought maybe a little higher than I should on first instinct, but I want to be cautious with this one. I think this one could turn into a 5 when nice. I get more into it, when I get more into the characters and more into the game. I think it could turn into a 5, but right now it's a 4. The combat and the platforming, I would like it if it was a little more complex.
Mm-hmm.
Right off the bat, but the combat is adding complexity as I get into it. So hopefully that surprises me and keeps getting more complex. What's really going to sell me is the story. If the story gets really interesting, then it's going to get bumped up to a 5, and that's just the way it is. It's got that potential, and I'm really just looking forward to playing a whole lot more of this game.
Very nice.
Yeah, so that's going to do it for our care package. We're going to go on into the game bag. This is the game bang, and I have been game banging Farva Halo Reach's campaign.
God, how bored are you?
I finished it the other day, and let me tell you something.
You loved it.
I don't know where you get off with your whole rant about Halo. What were you expecting out of Halo Reach? Let me ask you that first of all.
I don't know. Whatever it was, I wasn't getting.
Hang on, wait, 1 second. I'm gonna crack this. There it is. Okay, continue with you whatever you're saying.
No, I don't know what I was expecting, but I didn't find any of it to be really that stirring or that moving like I got in the other games. Even with ODST and it's had some problems, there were still moments when I was playing as the individual characters who I knew were going to be overwhelmed, and experiencing them being overwhelmed was really intense. And so going through this and, you know, having my guys get dropped left and right over stupid shit, once you get the package, it's like, oh, yeah. You got to get the package from here to there. It's like, well, I've been spending the whole game going from here to there. It was just the same, show up, go over there, kill bad guys. Show up, go over there, kill bad guys. Show up, go over, and it's just the same thing over and over and over again. I didn't have an experience, like I said, running into the guilty spark. Meeting the, you know, coming across the flood, having Cortana, you know, stolen from me, and, you know, having her, like, in 3, when she constantly starts popping up on your screen and she's, like, begging for you to come save her. All this different stuff like that. I didn't get any of that from this. It was Halo for the sake of Halo.
You don't think getting the package was an important part of the game in one of those impactful moments?
It wasn't like everything else. Maybe it was just because I knew it was coming, Now no one told me, but it's one of the things like I knew what was going to happen.
Let me ask you this: What part of ODST do you think was more impactful than that?
Honestly,
yeah.
Being the sniper and playing the sniper level, and that dude comes down, like, you know, and you're trying to survive and you're becoming overwhelmed, and that dude comes down with the hammer and he, like, smashes you and he hits, you know, he basically tries to cut you in half and he hits your rifle and your rifle gets bent up and it falls off. Like, that was much more like, holy shit, you know, I'm like, you know, I've got this long range weapon, everyone's coming up close to me, this dude's got a fucking axe on me, I'm doing the very best I can. That seemed more impactful to me than this. I didn't
really
experience a moment that was like, whoa, holy shit, what's happening, until after the credits.
You didn't think the end, I mean, not even real, well, okay, after the credits was a really incredible game sequence where I don't want to spoil it, but it's an
area called Survive.
Yeah, stay until after the credits, because that's worth waiting through the credits for. I thought before the credits, the end sequence, I thought the way they switched it up and tried something new with Halo to end it was pretty interesting. I thought it depicted the overall theme of the game very well. What happened at the end of the game before the credits? What transpires there.
Yeah.
I thought one of the best sequences of the game, and it absolutely was full of nostalgia. If you remember the first game, the level called The Silent Cartographer, the first, which was the, I consider that the first sort of Halo moment.
Yep.
Where you are in a Pelican flying over a beach, watching a battle that is going on the beach before you land and get involved in the battle yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And this was original Xbox days, so that was some pretty hot shit back then. You know, that was some pretty crazy stuff, and it was like, wow, so this is what I'm getting myself into with this game, huh? There is a scene in this game that harkens back to that. Do you know what scene I'm talking about, Father?
I do. I know what you're talking about.
I thought that was incredibly impactful.
There were some cool, I like how they started using, like, the voices from the original Halo, from, like, the troops around you. You started hearing some of the same things said over and over again, things that I've heard hundreds of times and therefore picked up right away. I thought it was cool, and they did a good job of bleeding this game into, you know, the original Halo, you know, Combat Evolved.
Right.
But overall, It was to me, it was kind of like the Final Fantasy. It took so long of playing through mundane, stupid missions to get to that point where shit really started to matter and started to happen. Like, that I was super bored. By the time I got there, I'm like, it wasn't fucking worth it.
I could not disagree with you more. I thought this was one of the best Halo games that's ever come out, and I thought this was one of the best Halo campaigns. I thought this was, obviously, I think Halo 1 takes the cake in terms of Halo campaigns. I don't think that can be argued all that much. Halo 3 was a good one. I think this is right at the level of Halo 3, to be honest with you. I think this is right on the level with Halo 3 in terms of campaign quality.
And I think you're a drunken, stupid, redneck, redheaded fanboy.
Well, you know, call me what you will. I mean, I don't subscribe to the Halos. You know, I'll change my games out every so often, and I'll call a spade, Halo ODST, in retrospect, was just not worth it. It just wasn't worth the price of admission. I thought it was great at the time, but then 20 minutes later, when I was done with the campaign, I was just kind of looking back at it and wondering if I was. And I think the big difference is between this and ODST is that I was going back and wondering if I was ever going to play ODST's campaign levels again.
No way. It was a definite rental.
In Reach, I know I'm going back to it. I know I'm going to go back to it and try the legendary mode and see if I can get that. See if I can get through levels on legendary, you know. See how many I can get through on legendary before I crack. I thought the space flight level was a real call out to Star Fox, and I was really into it. I think it was underutilized.
Yeah.
I don't think they had enough of it out there. Because I thought it was one of the more surprisingly polished parts of the game. I thought that the controls were tight, a lot tighter than they had any right to be. And I thought it was amazing to me how quickly I was able to pick up and just go and be able to do everything with the control scheme on this vehicle that I had never even thought about playing in a Halo on a Halo control scheme. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I picked that thing up and was immediately like an expert with it. It was no problem, and I think that is a absolute example of good game design.
I'm not going to fault you there. The game was fairly tight. Agree to disagree. Fuck you. I'm talking now. My turn.
Okay, so that was me. I've been playing a lot of Halo Reach campaign. Finished that shit. Hopefully I'll get a little more time with it. We'll get a little more time with Firefight, which I've had zero time with. But Farva, what have you been putting your time into this week on the Game Bang?
The bulk of my time has been spent, now that I'm aware that you can actually download your games from Steam and you're not, you know, streaming them, like I thought that's what that service was.
That would be stream.
Yeah, I'm shut up. Fuck you. I picked up Knights of the Old Republic, the original.
Oh yeah, all right.
And I have been going through being I'm playing as a female character, and I am being a mega bitch, and I am like robbing everybody and killing everybody. And because usually I start these games and I know I'm only going to play it maybe once or twice, or you know, and I always usually like try and be an asshole, and after like 20 minutes I just do everything. I feel super guilty. But because I'm not playing this at work, I do not get really, really frustrated with the people I work with, I've found that I'm having no problem at all playing super, super evil.
Well, like, okay, let's be honest here, Farber. This isn't your first dance with KOTOR, is it?
No.
So you know the hook. So also, yeah. You have no problem being the bitch in this one either.
Yeah, no. Yeah. I'm going through, I'm killing everybody. It's great. I forgot. I mean, the graphics obviously do not hold up, but the story and the gameplay itself is pretty tight. And, you know, on the PC, it's doing just fine. So,
yep.
On that note, actually, last night I went ahead and picked up the Civ 5 demo. I'm going to be giving that a shot this weekend and maybe picking that up next week. So
great. Yeah, give it a crack and let us know what you think. I mean, you've got a co-op or competitive partner in me, and I think Dogs Die from Sarcastic Gamer is always looking for new buddies to play Civ 5 with. That's one of those games, kind of like StarCraft, where you can get into it with your friends, but you can play a co-op game and be co-op partners instead of being competitive, and that's kind of a different dynamic and pretty cool, especially in StarCraft and to a lesser degree in Civ too.
Well, you guys know I drink when I game, and you know after a drink and a half, I'm totally going to betray you guys and just try and, like, kill you.
Yeah. But, I mean, you won't have prepared for it at all. You'll be sending, like, your workers and your pack mules over to try and shit us to death or something.
Quick, mine all of their coal.
That'll show them. So that's going to do it for Game Bang, and we're going to go on to a really short buried treasure. Hit up! Okay, guys, it's the buried treasure, and once again, it's not an actual buried treasure. It's an announcement. We talked about it, about a month ago?
At least.
That our next buried treasure game was going to be DuckTales.
Ooh.
And, yeah, exactly. And, by God, it's going to happen. We're going to be putting some time into it this week, and we're going to bring you Buried Treasure Part 1 of question marks of DuckTales next week. So keep your ears up for that one. Just wanted to let you guys know that next week we'll be talking about DuckTales, so it's not a big surprise to anybody.
Which is nice, because really what he's doing is he's like, yeah, I'm going to let you guys know, Farva, fucking play this game so we can get this thing done. That's really what he's doing. He is such a passive-aggressive little fucker.
I'm committing myself to it as well. And also letting the listeners know if they can get their hands on DuckTales playthrough, I don't know, part of it. I guess maybe half of it. I don't really know. We got to get into it to figure out how deep we want to get into this game for next week's segment. It's probably going to be we just talk about however far the least of us has gotten, if that makes sense.
I know. Man, I love this. I love the start screen. That opening animation was amazing.
Did you go to the options? Well, actually, I don't know if DuckTales had any options back in the day. I don't know if there were ever options at all.
Probably not. So, all right, I'll play it. I'll get it done.
There we go. Okay, so that's what's going to be next week. And right now we're going to go to Fresh Catch. Okay, Fresh Catch. I have a bevy of game deals for you guys that are near Kmart.
Yay, Kmart.
Yeah. Kmart Gamer is kind of going off. You can go to the Kmart Gamer blog. I think it's just kmartgamer.com. And, again, they have been really bringing it, Farber. They had the great move deal where it was like $25 coupon with the bundle, which made it essentially $75, like 25% off. Now they have, if you want to pick up the game that I've been talking about, Enslaved Odyssey to the West, it comes with a $25 gaming coupon if you buy it at Kmart. That's better than what I got at Amazon, I'll tell you that much. I didn't see this until I had already sort of locked in my pre-order and it was on its way and all that stuff. I couldn't cancel it. But if you're interested in Enslaved Odyssey to the West, $25 gaming coupon. Also, if you're interested in Final Fantasy XIV, the new MMO Final Fantasy game, $20 gaming coupon with that one. If you want a new DS game, Final Fantasy The Four Heroes of Light, if you're interested in that game at all, it's $15 gaming coupon, which is a pretty hot deal for a DS game.
Yeah.
For how cheap those come. NBA Jam, if you, despite everything we've been saying in this show, want to get it for the Wii, you get yourself a $15 gaming coupon with that one, too.
There you go. Tim in Tucson, our one Wii gamer. There you go.
There you go. And then there's some pre-order deals, too. And these are kind of interesting. The Fallout New Vegas one especially is interesting. If you put $5 down at Kmart, you get a coaster set for Fallout New Vegas. And you get a $15 coupon redeemable at the launch of the game. So it's not even that you get $15 coupon with the purchase of the game. You get a $15 coupon that you can use on the game. So you basically get it for $10 off. You get the game for $50, and it's not any kind of future deal thing. And I'd imagine you can put your other, like if you bought, let's say you bought Enslaved.
Yeah.
And then you also bought, and if you also pre-ordered Fallout New Vegas, well, then shit. You tack your $25 coupon you got from Enslaved onto Fallout New Vegas, and suddenly Fallout New Vegas is $25.
Yeah,
and you got yourself a sweet ass coaster set too. Epic Mickey has the same deal. You put $5 down, you get a $15 coupon that you can use on Epic Mickey, but you don't get a coaster set. So if you're into that,
that's bullshit.
Check that shit out.
I know. Give me my coasters.
And Farva, I know you don't live anywhere near a Kmart.
Nope.
But I have one for you too, my friend.
Thank fucking God, because I was getting bored by this segment.
And for anybody else who, like us, was like, man, fuck those guys, Modern Warfare 2, charging $15 for a map pack, it's time. This week, get on it. It's $7.50 for each one of them. They're half off. The two that have come out for $15, Stimulus and Resurgence packs are $7.50 each, whatever that works out to in terms of points, you know, whatever. But if you're into it, if you're still playing Modern Warfare 2, now's the time to get these maps.
And you are. It's a great game.
I mean, I think they're trying to cash in one last time before Medal of Honor comes out, and then further down the road before Black Ops comes out.
Mm-hmm.
But this is what we said we were going to wait for. And now it's here.
It's here. It's time.
Are you going to get that? Are you going to get them?
Yeah. Both I'm going to go out and download them right, like, as soon as we're done recording.
Yeah, I think I am too. And then we'll be having some fun with that shit we'll be talking about that in the very next segment. So, I don't know, unless you have anything else to talk about with Fresh Catch, anything going on with deals in your world there, Farva?
I'm giving 25% off hand jobs for the next 2 weeks. Outside of that, nah, not much else. So, fuck it.
So, they're like three quarters now?
Pretty much, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, 75 cents will get you a handy.
Wow, that's quite a drop. I mean, that's an economical thing. But okay, so 25% off hand jobs from Farva, or you can jump on one of these video game deals from the Fresh Catch. Go to Kmart and check out all their mad shit, or get yourself some Modern Warfare 2 map packs. We're gonna move on into Gamer 9 announcements now.
Hey. I invited to join in a talking ship Gamer Night.
This is Gamer Night announcements, and I wanted to recap the Gamer Night that we had on Saturday. We had a bad movie, Drinky Drinky, and by popular demand, and Farva, let me tell you something. This was popular fucking demand. Like, Colby and Cam Dog, we're not going to stand for anything else. We watched a movie called Bitch Slap, and... So Dave and I were sitting there. We're like, hey, let's try something. Let's do a vote, whatever, all this shit. They're like, no, we are watching Bitch Slap. We watched it this morning, and we immediately thought it would be a great bad movie drinking. And we're like, well, hang on, guys. Let's slow it down, because, like, you just watched it this morning. Like, how good could it be that you want to watch it again? Like, this quick, like, okay, we can put it in the hopper. It's on Netflix Instant. We can put it in the hopper. We'll watch it next week or the week after or something, you know, whatever. We'll watch it. We had this idea we were going to watch My Name is Bruce, the Bruce Campbell movie.
Yeah.
That was what we were going to watch. But these guys were like, no, we're insisting that we watch this movie. And so, you know, we didn't want to piss off Cam Dog and Colby. They might go play their PS3s or something like that.
I know, fucking teenagers in their temper tantrums.
So we watched it. This movie was absolutely a perfect bad movie, Drinky Drinky. It was about three hot girls that came upon a dead... I don't even know what the fuck it was about, to be honest with you. It was just a lot of guns and a lot of tits and a lot of explosions. And really, that was about it. And a lot of horrible acting.
Perfect.
It was... don't watch this one with kids. Watch this one with your boys. Watch this one with your friends that you can drink and have a good time with, because in the same vein as Machete was, and I'm not going to say this is anywhere near the quality of Machete for a bad movie, Drinky Drinky, but
the same vein.
It's the same concept. It's a movie that you could only really enjoy in this capacity, I think. But enjoy it we did. And then after that, we watched we sat down to play some Halo Reach Firefight, and I was watching the Netflix movie on my downstairs on my new Xbox Slim, which I got the cheap model, the $200 model with no hard drive in it, the 4 gigabyte uh-huh. internal memory. So I wanted a Netflix player downstairs, and so I bought that, and we got it all hooked up and watched Netflix. It was perfect. And then I went to play Halo Reach on it. Guess what you need to play Halo Reach Firefight? Apparently, arbitrarily... You need
memory,
a hard drive. No, not just memory, Farva, because this thing has four gigabytes of internal memory. Oh, I think that would be enough.
Yeah.
Nope. You need a hard drive, and to sit there at the Halo Firefight screen with three of your friends, and be told one of the players in this party doesn't have an Xbox 360 hard drive. An Xbox 360 hard drive is required to play Halo Reach Firefight. And everyone's just kind of like looking like, just like, is that you, Fish?
Who is it?
I'm like, fuck. So instead of transferring my, and I got to work out a better system for this, probably put it on a USB stick or something. Instead of transferring my profile all the way upstairs, and that took about 20 minutes, to be honest with you, transfer my profile downstairs to watch Netflix on it. We just sat down and played some good old fashioned Halo multiplayer. It's fun. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of fun. We had a great time, and it was just. And I think honestly, Farva, more than anything, I learned that the time for the Saturday gamer night
is after the movie.
Post bad movie drinky.
Dude, that 9 times out of 10, when I do a bad movie drinky, I end up with Modern Warfare or Battlefield Bad Company going on afterwards.
It's perfect.
And we'll play for 3-4 hours sometimes.
So that's what's going to be going forward. But I don't want to skip on to what we're doing next. I want to talk about what you had in terms of a somewhat gamer night.
That's right. I had planned a gamer night last Thursday. We were going to do Battlefield Bad Company. Then the forums dictated otherwise. Apparently, there was a demand for a midweek bad movie drinky.
Yep.
So, I mean, I was like, it got to the point where I wasn't even just on the forums. I started getting emails to, like, my personal email. Like, hey, like my Farva at, you know, talkingship.com.
Yeah.
Yeah, I started getting flooded with, hey, are we going to do a bad movie drinky tonight? Are you sure you're going to be there? What time? Yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, fuck it, fine. So we did, and we did a Troll 2. Yep. Oh, my God. I totally understand. Like there, and one of the reasons we watched it is because there's a documentary out there called Worst Movie Ever or something like that, and it's about Troll 2 and how it's developed this cult following and how it has been like dubbed the worst movie of all time. And I've everyone's seen that one clip on YouTube where, oh my God, they're eating her, and now they're gonna eat me next. Oh my God, you know, that's just like it's a horrible acting. But to see it in context and watch this god-awful, horrible, horrible movie, I was blown away. Like, I know for a fact that the director of this movie still considers this a great film. And he argues, they're like, yeah, you made a cult classic and the worst movie ever. And he gets so offended and upset because it's a great movie in his eyes. And I'm like, dude, how much fucking coke were you on?
Yeah.
It was a god-awful movie. Now, and it was fun because, you know, one of the rules was every time there's green slime, you had to drink. There was a fuck ton of green slime everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, every food was green. It was just you drank every time you saw that. And what kind of made it suck for me was I wasn't expecting a bad movie drinky, so I had to grab something en route after work, meaning I grabbed a beer. Stopped at the gas station, grabbed a beer.
Nice.
For a third, 40 ounces of Bud Light. Oh, my God. I was so sick. I don't know. Remember if I quite threw it up as I was just, like, burping so bad that I think liquid just started coming up with it. It was – I felt so sick. It was so disgusting. So, like, every time I saw green, I was getting nauseous. But, oh, fuck, another sip of this shit. It was so bad.
That's great.
But, yeah, Jitterbug was there. You were there.
Uh-huh.
Weren't you?
Yeah, I showed up near the end, actually. I only showed up a little bit.
Yeah, you got there. Jitterbug was there. Nerves was there. Mrs. Jitterbug was there. The commish. It was really kind of a lot of the staff, actually.
Yeah.
But it was a good time. So, didn't end up playing any games. That movie went kind of late, and by the time it was done, I had to get up and go to work in the morning.
Right.
So. That was pretty much it. So that went my game
tonight.
Yeah.
So are you going to be playing anything for this week, or what's going on this week?
No. This Thursday, Farva needs a rest. I have not been sleeping well. I'm pretty under the weather right now. I have to work 16 hours tomorrow, what will be when this goes up. Tomorrow will be the gamer night. So Thursday.
Yep.
Thursday, I got a 16-hour shift. I've got to sleep that night because I have, and this is going to suck so bad, I've got to work 16 hours on Friday, get up, drive 2 hours back to my house, pick up my wife, drive 12 and a half hours to Missouri, sleep in the morning, get up, participate in a walkthrough of a wedding. The wedding is Sunday morning, and then Sunday night, drive the 12 and a half hours back to my house.
Oh, far, that's horrible.
So... And I'm already not feeling good, so I'm like, fuck me.
You've got to take it easy this week, man.
Yeah, fuck me with a dildo made of AIDS, because this is it's going to be miserable. So, so this Thursday, if someone else wants to put together Gamer Night, get on the forums, please do so. If I can't sleep, I may just get on anyway, but right now, I've got to get some sleep. I'm sorry.
Okay, so combining what we've learned from this episode of the Game Lounge, I am putting together a Saturday night Extravaganza. It'll be Bad Movie Drinky Drinky again, of course. And then a post-Bad Movie Drinky Drinky Modern Warfare 2 Gamer Night, and hopefully we can involve the new maps that are cheap. You know, you see what I did there, Farvin? I sort of recapped the entire show in the Gamer Night announcement.
That's why you run this, and I just sit aside and run and make comments.
Right, and that wasn't even my intent. I had something else written down as the Gamer Night, at least the post-Bad Movie Drinky Gamer Night. But after talking about it and talking it through, it just makes more sense. And now we can maybe I'll throw it up in the forums. Stimulus and Resurgence pack map packs are both $7.50, both half off. I'll probably get both of them, but I'll put it up in the forums for a poll to see which one, if maybe there's people that are only getting one, we actually want to go into with the post-Bad Movie Drinky Drinky Gamer Night. So that's what we'll be doing on Saturday. We'll be doing the Bad Movie Drinky Drinky, of course, with no insistence this time. We need to do this old school. We haven't done this in a while. Well, maybe. I mean, I wasn't there for Thursdays. Did you guys get together and vote?
Yeah, we did.
Okay, well, we're going to be doing that again. That's the way it's supposed to go with Bad Movie Drinky Drinky. We're going to get together and vote on the movie, and then we're going to go on and play some Modern Warfare. So look forward to that. But really, I don't have anything else. I don't have any shout-outs or anything in particular for this week. Do you have anything for us there, Farva?
No, not really. Just a couple things for you. You know, I know we have our listenership has been going up every week, and thank you for the new listeners for tuning in. We hope you are entertained. Yep. If you are, please get on iTunes, leave us some feedback, 5 stars, 4 stars, whatever you think we deserve. It does help us get the word out. Now, you know what the funny thing is I'm not exactly sure why we want the word to get out. You know, they're like, yeah, you know, post it so we're getting out there more. And so what? So more people listen, and then we have to repeat this message over and over again. I mean, it's just nice to know that other people are listening, and that's cool. But the big thing is the feedback. It's just to say, hey, you know, I like it when Farva talks about, you know, sucking a cock, or, you know, like, I like it when Fish sucks Farva's cock, or whatever it is, you know, you put up there.
I think everybody likes that.
We just like the feedback. And so that would be nice. Yeah. So if you guys would, you know, if you're like, Farva drinks too much, he should stop drinking, or, you know, send that guy to AA, whatever. Just put up whatever you want to. So that's pretty much it. It's more like a beg for feedback. We do tend to get, you know, feedback. I get feedback on Twitter constantly every show, and it seems to be from the same couple of listeners. Lokila, R.A. Lokila, I get from CamDog, DJ, El Mariachi, you know, a lot of Colby, a lot of the guys that we tend to interact with a lot tend to give us a lot of feedback. Yep. But for those of you who just tend to tune us in and just say, hey, you know, I kind of like these guys, or, you know, they help my commute, or, you know, they cover the sounds of my really, really bad gas, whatever. Just give us some feedback and let us know what you think.
Yeah, we'd like to hear from you. We like to know who our listeners are. You know, we make pretty good friends with most of our listeners, and it's great to get on and play and get involved in gamer nights and stuff with people that are listening to the show and hear feedback. It's fun to do a show where our listenership isn't as like crazy astronomical as maybe some of the other shows are, because it feels like we're talking to our friends, and that's cool.
Yeah.
And I never want to lose that. And I think that no matter, like, as long as the word's spreading in the right way with this show, I think we'll always feel like we're talking to our friends, because we always will be. And so we want to hear from you guys. We want to get in contact. We want to become, you know, friends on Xbox Live, PSN, Steam, all that stuff, man. Whatever. Just drop us a line, fisherman@talkingship.com, farva@talkingship.com. And, of course, one way to always get our attention is leave us an iTunes review. If you're listening and you're not maybe participating in an incredibly vocal way, just let us know you're listening, man. We'd love to hear from you. Anyways, that's going to do it for the Game Lounge this week. Episode number 19 is in the books. I'm going to get down and play some more Enslaved. Farva, it sounds like you could just probably crash out.
Pass out. That's what I'm going to do.
Whether you're respecting Farva's unconsciousness or respecting my time with this game, you guys got to get out of the Game Lounge.
Thanks for showing up. Get the fuck out.